All right, we want to welcome you to the Wednesday night Landmark Baptist Church service. Me and Brother Ed here tonight, and I'll tell you right now, we got just enough to have church. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, lo, I'm in the midst, so we got enough to have Jesus here.
Amen.
As long as he's here, I'm happy. Amen.
Amen, that's right.
We've got a long list of prayer requests here. Sister Joanne, she failed today. And hurt herself. I think it broke her wrist, broke a toe, had some stitches in her head. She was going to the doctor and passed out, I think is what happened, and hurt herself. Remember Sister Joanne? We really enjoyed having Brother Lee Watts last Sunday.
Yeah.
I'd like to say this to all the pastors out there. It's a real blessing to get Brother Lee Watts to your church. Very informative. Really enjoyed the presentation in Sunday school. I never will forget the things you shared with us concerning our country and how godly our country was raised and all of the things that's still in our buildings and still in our Constitution that's being chipped away at. One thing I never will forget was he's talking about on the top of the Washington Monument was two words, and they were praise God, and they were on the east side. Every morning the sun rises up, it shines on those two words, praise God. I thank God for that.
Yes.
But we encourage you to get Brother Lee Watts into your church. Being a pastor myself, your people need a little refreshing. It's good to get somebody in there, for good for your people, good for you, to get some, you know, get some fresh manna. And Brother Lee done a great job in the Sunday school presentation. He done a great job in the message that he preached on who's the boss. We really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
We got homecoming coming up this Sunday. Brother Mark Hurt's going to be the one going to be preaching. And again, I'm going to be supping, soaking up all I can, that heavenly manna. Amen. And going to be eating a meal afterwards. I encourage all to come out. I believe it'll be a blessing. That'll be this Sunday. The service will start at 10 o'clock. We won't have no Sunday school. We'll have singing and we'll have preaching, and then we'll have some fellowship out there.
Amen.
Be some good food.
Yeah.
Sister Brenda Goff, we'll remember her in prayer. She requested prayer Sunday night. Said she thought she might have some blockage in her neck, might have put a stent in. We'll remember her. And I want to mention this, and I want to take just a little bit of time. We've got elections not only coming up in November, but we've got an election coming up this month. And I hope you listen real good to what I'm saying. I think you'll be interested in this. Even if you're not interested in politics, I believe you'll be interested in this. They're trying to pass a bill called the Marriage Equality Bill. And it has to be passed by the 30th. Of this month, or they said they're going to shut the government down. They're not going to hold me hostage over a bill. And this is something they've been trying to push through for quite some time, and it's not been successful, so they're threatening now with a shutdown of the government. But let me explain why we don't need this bill. The Marriage Equality Act will allow pedophiles to marry a 10-year-old girl. And the sad thing about it is, since she's a minor, she won't be able to apply for a divorce till she's 18.
Wow.
So for 8 years, she's going to be a slave. She's going to be abused and molested. And here's even worse, what's bad about this Marriage Equality Act. If this young girl somehow escapes and you give her refuge, you'll be prosecuted to the full extent of the law for giving this little girl refuge from her abuse and from her being molested. And we don't need this Marriage Equality Act. Please listen to what I'm saying. We don't need this Marriage Equality Act. We've already got plenty of equality in marriage.
Amen.
Gays are already getting married.
Yeah.
And I know they're trying to push it over. It won't be. I'm not going to marry them. I'll just tell you right now. I do have a say in who I marry.
That's
I'm not going to be forced to marry anyone. I will definitely consider marrying anyone in a legitimate marriage. I won't be marrying a pedophile to a little child. I will not.
No.
I won't be marrying a pedophile to a dog. I won't do it. I won't be doing a same-sex union. Regardless, I don't care what the laws, I will not be doing. I do have a say as an ordained minister who I join in marriage. I will not do it. You can take that to the bank.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage you to call your two U.S. senators. The number is 202. Write this down, please. 202-224-2541. That's Mitch McConnell's number. And 202-224-4343. That's Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul. Contact your U.S. representative. His number is 202-225-3501. I think it's Brent Guthrie. I don't know. Contact your governor at Frankfort, 502-564-2611. Contact your state representatives, 502-564-8100. Tell them no. Vote no on this Marriage Equality Act, or you're going to have this nightmare rubbed in your face.
Amen.
And you're going to bear the guilt and the shame,
yes,
of not doing nothing when you should have not only resisted it, but reported that we don't need this Marriage Equality Act.
That's right.
Make sure you give them a call. Make sure you say, vote no or else. Be adamant. Be dogmatic about it. We do not need this Marriage Equality Act.
Right.
And I hope you understand how serious a matter this is. They're trying to push this through. We don't need it. We want to also have a word of prayer for Brother Bob Malkin up in Ohio. He always listens in. On our services, we appreciate Brother Bob. He's a Jew. He's God's little Jew. He's saved. And we appreciate Brother Bob Malkin. And we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing a gospel hymn, and we'll teach our lesson tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, on this September the 14th, Wednesday night service here at Landmark Baptist Church, Lord. Just want to say I love you. Just want to say thank you, Lord, for being such... oh, so gracious, so full of compassion, so merciful, so kind, so gentle, so long-suffering, Lord, in your judgment. Thank you, Lord, that you've continued, Lord, to bless America. Lord, you've continued, Lord, to allow its churches to be open and, Lord, to reach souls with the gospel. Thank you, Lord, to be able to be born in America. Thank you, Lord, to be in the family of God. Thank you, Lord, to know the difference between right and wrong, thanks to the Bible. Lord, help us, Lord, I pray. Lord, that we keep your word dear to our heart. The psalmist said, I'll hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Lord, we want your word near. We want your Holy Spirit, Lord, to help us, Lord, to lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, one day we're going to leave a testimony behind, and I want mine to be well done. I want mine to say he stayed course. Paul said, I finished my course. He said, I kept the faith. I fought a good fight. He said, henceforth it's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not only for me, but all those that love the Lord and look to his appearing. Lord, we want to leave behind a good testimony. Father, we want to pray on behalf of Sister Joanne Smith that fell this morning. Lord, we just pray, God, you'll help her, Lord, to get... Lord, to heal up, Lord, to get better, Lord, to be able, Lord, to come, if possible, Lord, to the homecoming this Sunday. Lord, we know nothing's too hard for you. We pray for Sister Joanne, Lord, to be able to be there. We pray, Lord God, in your tender care, Lord, that she be able, Lord, to recover. We just pray for her, Father. Lord, we pray for Lord, Sister Brenda Goth. Lord, we thank you, Father, for Sister Brenda. Lord, she's asking prayer about maybe some blockage in her neck. We pray for her. Pray, Lord God, you'd help her with that. I pray for Brother Mark Hurt. Lord, he's going to be preaching this Sunday for the homecoming. He'll be the preacher. I pray for him and his wife, Sister Kay. Pray your blessing upon them. Bless their marriage. Bless their ministry. Bless their health and well-being. Father, we pray, Lord, again about this matter, this equality bill. Lord, overthrow it. Lord, I pray you'd expose the wickedness that's in it. Lord, I pray that not only it be thrown out the door, but I pray, Lord God, it'd never be able to make its way back in for an opportunity to be passed. I pray, Lord, it'd be thrown out like trash. That's what it is. Lord, I want to pray for Brother Bob Malkin up in Ohio. We appreciate Brother Bob. Yeah. Lord, always been a blessing to us, always encouraging us. And Lord, I want to pray for Brother Lee Watts. We thank you so much to be able to have him here last Sunday. Yeah. Lord, it's very beneficial to me, a blessing to me, blessing to many. Bless the ministry, Brother Lee Watts. Thank you for him. And Lord, bless this service tonight. And Lord, we've got others, Lord, got COVID. We got others, Lord, got sickness, got problems, Lord, that we just want you, Lord, to help them, Lord. Help them to get through it. Help them, Lord, to recover. Help them, Lord, I pray, to be faithful to the house of God. Lord, to be here, Lord, when the doors are open, to sing the songs of God. And be a blessing, not a burden, to the heart of God. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we want to sing this song tonight. I thought about Sister Joanne when I was looking through the song book. And this song is called Take My Hand, Precious Lord. And you know, that's what I want. I want the Lord to lead me.
That's right.
And I want the Lord to help me. And you know, you get old, it's not like you can do anything about it. It's not like you can go back. I know our youth will be renewed like the eagle, but it's not now. It's later. We will get our youth back. We will get a new body. We'll get a new song. We'll get a new name. We'll get a new home. But until then, this song makes a lot of sense if you've got any age on it at all.
Yeah.
And here we go. When my way grows... Wait a minute. When my way... Well, come on, Lord. Precious
Lord.
Wait a minute, Brother Ed. I've really lost here.
Okay.
When my way groweth dear, precious Lord, I'm going to miss this. When my life... Well, I sung this all the whole time. Lost the whole song. When my way groweth dear, precious Lord, missed it. Bear with us here. We're not a singer by no means. We'll start with the chorus. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way groweth dear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the shadows appear and the night draweth near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Well, we got through it anyway. Hallelujah.
That was Joanne's husband's favorite song right there.
Amen. Well, we wanted to try to encourage her. We sent her a card this morning, not knowing that she's going to fall today. But we wanted to try to encourage her. And I hope she hears that song. We wanted to try to encourage Sister Joanne. All right. On our lesson tonight, we finished up Job chapter number 16. And... Last verse of Job chapter 16 says, when a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. One of these days, old Brother Eddie won't be here among the living.
Right.
I'll be, praise God, where they never die.
Hey.
I'll be up there, man, where there's no more funerals, no more caskets, no more headstones. Hey, we'll be up there, praise God, enjoying eternal life in the presence of our Lord and Savior. But Job here in chapter 17, he's continuing his answer to Eliphaz. And he says, my breath is corrupt, my days are extinct, the graves are ready for me. Job has about given up. Mm-hmm. And one reason he's given up is because of his miserable comforters. They've not been any help to him at all. He said in Job chapter 16, verse number 2, he said, miserable comforters are y'all. They're not giving him any comfort.
No.
They're not helping him at all. And he's saying, the grave is ready for me. Verse 2, are there not mockers with me? He's talking about his friends are really mocking him instead of encouraging him. He says, and doeth not mine eye continue in their provocation? They're provoking him in their sarcasm and in their mocking. And you know, he don't need mocking. He don't need a sarcasm. He needs compassion.
That's right.
The Bible mentions to us in the book of Jude about a son having compassion, making a difference. And I've said this, and I'll say it again. You may not know what to say, but sometimes you don't have to say anything. Just being there is a comfort. These boys sat with Job for like 7 days, never said a word. And they've been better off, kept their mouth shut when they opened their word, their mouth, and the words they spoke, they should have kept to themselves. But the Bible says in Job verse 22, it's only one chapter, it says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. I go to Bowling Green down there, take my wife down to the doctor down there, and there'll be somebody, you know, I'm hungry, I don't have a home, and some of them are panhandlers, and they're not genuine.
Right.
But some of them really do need help, and I do try to help those that I can. And those that, you know, that are panhandlers, I just pray for them. God will help them to do that which is right. But I don't never want to run out of compassion is what I'm trying to say. I'd rather be wrong and have compassion than try to be right thinking I don't need to have compassion. I always want to have the eye of Christ. Looks upon me with pity, looks upon me and with love. And you know what? I don't never get what I deserve. I get what I don't deserve. But
right.
Job's friends here, they're mocking him. They're provoking him.
Yeah.
He says in verse 3, lay down now, put me in a surety with thee. Who is he that will strike hands with me? He's talking about they wouldn't even loan him even money, any money if he needed it. Here he is, he's lost all of his wealth. He's lost his 10 children. His own wife says, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. You know, I can take about anything from anyone. But when my wife and I spent quite a bit of time with her today, her birthday was Monday, just trying to encourage her. But when my wife is sarcastic with me, that hurts. She's my companion. God said two will be one. And in the marriage of God, not only will two be one, but it'll be a fruitful union. You'll be able to have children. And if not, you'll be able to have the blessing of God.
Yeah.
God said male and female, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father, cleave to his wife, they being twain shall be one flesh. But Job here says, he said, who is it will even loan me money here? He said, put me in a surety with thee. Who is he that will strike hands with me? They wouldn't even agree to help him financially. Verse 4, for thou hast hid their heart from understanding, therefore shall thou not exalt them. These friends of his, they don't understand this situation. And Job's bringing this out in his statement. He said that they don't have the understanding of how bad it is with me. And Job here is saying, you know, they're not going to exalt, you know, in this condition. The way up is down. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter 5, verse 7, humble thyself in the sight of God, And he shall exalt thee in due time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What they're doing is not the way up. Verse 5, Job says, he that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. A lot of these things that are mentioned here in the book of Job, these are true statements. And you need to take pretty serious to some of these statements here. Mm-hmm. He says, he that speaketh flattery to his friends. That's like me and Brother Ed was talking earlier about a half-truth.
Yeah.
You just say something because it sounds good.
Yeah.
But he that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. It has a ripple effect. It'll affect your children. It'll affect your friends. It'll affect you. Verse 6, he hath made me also a byword of the people, and aforetime I was a tabard. That means a song. People had high, they esteemed Job very high. They had songs about Job. Job was a very great man. I might not be going in the right direction here. Let me see something here. I believe he was one of the greatest men of the East. I was kind of hoping I could just... There it is. Job chapter 1 verse 3 talks about, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. That's the latter part of Job chapter 1 verse 3. Job was a great man. And here the devil has just really sifted him. He's down, to the dust of the ground. And he says, he hath made me also a byword of the people. They're not singing about Job now. Now they're, they're talking about Job in an unhealthy way. You know, remember Job? Back when he was rich, back when he had his 10 children. Now they're just kind of making jokes about Job. Verse 7, mine eye also is dim by reason of sorrow, and all my members are as a shadow. Job just fading away. He's getting weaker by the day. Verse 8, upright men shall be astonished at this, and the innocent shall stir up himself against the hypocrite. It's bringing more people in, to kind of join in with the hypocrisy,
right?
Being raised up against Job. Says, and the innocent shall stir up himself. He's getting in, with the sarcasm, with the criticism of Job. And, one thing about innocent, you're better off just keep your mouth shut sometimes. Sometimes things are not what they seem to be. The Bible says every idle word that men speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. Mm-hmm. I'd hate to be wrong and say something that was wrong and God bring it up to me. And, it'd be a terrible thing to give account of. When I say, Lord, I'm sorry, I should have kept my mouth shut. I didn't understand. Verse 9, the righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Now, that's some advice here. I'm 68 years old, and I'm still pretty strong. And one reason I'm still pretty strong is picking up Flint Rock, I think. But another reason is clean hands. Don't be a partaker with things that you know are wrong. Just walk away. Don't do it. He that have clean hands. I think about this abortion thing. It shouldn't have never been Roe versus Wade should have never been put into law, if that is such a statement. But they did overthrow it. It was wrong from day one. But it went as long as it went. It should have never been put into law. And now they're having a fit because they say, they can't get an abortion. Shouldn't have never been. But he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. These that pine away, these that know better, that have been partaker of this subject like abortion, I'm just telling you, you're not going to get the blessing of God unless you got clean hands. Don't be a partaker of it. Don't be in agreement with it. Walk away from it. You're better off. Says the righteous also shall hold on his way. Stay on that good way. Stay in the light. Walk in the light. He's in the light. Have fellowship with Him. And the only way to have fellowship with Him is to walk in the light. He's in the light. Verse 10. But as for you all. Now Job ain't happy right here. But as for you all. Do you return and come now? For I cannot find one wise man among you. In other words, he said, won't you give it up? Why do you keep coming and raising up accusations against me? Why are you making my situation worse? You know, these friends of his could have been a comfort to him, could have been pleasant to have, but they're the opposite of what they should be to Job. Verse 11, Job says, my days are past. My purposes are broken off. Even the thoughts of my heart, all of Job's plans have been interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all make plans. And when you make plans, just remember this. There's no promise of tomorrow.
No, that's right.
We all think we're going to go to bed tonight. We're going to get up in the morning and go out like we did before. Samson said, I'll go out as other times. He didn't. Matter of fact, Samson found out that he got the end of his rope. He'd been kind of pushing it and playing around with the fact that he was a Nazarite from his mother's womb, and God had it up to here with his ways, and they put Samson's eyes out, and they bound him and made him into a fool. He ground corn. They made sport of him. You need to be careful here. He says, my days are past. My purposes are broke off. His plans got changed. All that Job had in his heart to do, all of the stuff that he was going to give his son, going to give his daughters, all got interrupted. All of the plans he had with him and his wife, he said they're broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. And you know, that can happen so quickly. A car wreck. Well, Sister Joanne, she fell this morning. Something like that can interrupt all of your plans.
Right.
And that's how quickly things can change. I say this to all my congregation, my Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. Give some thought to what you plan to do. Make sure you include God in it.
Amen.
I'll just tell you right now, God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him.
Yes.
And the Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. Job got interrupted in his plans, got broken, and the thoughts of his heart got also changed. He never got to do anything he had in his plan. Verse 12. They changed the night into day. The light is short because of darkness. And Job, he's not enjoying the day. He's sleeping in the day. The light is short because of darkness. You ever get out of kelter? When I was young, I used to do this. I'd stay up half a night and sleep during the day.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. You'd wake up and it'd done be dark. And I remember one time, Brother Ed, I was working too hard at the factory.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up and I think it was getting dark or getting daylight. Anyway, I got mixed up. And I got dressed, run out the door. And I hadn't been asleep but an hour. I got mixed up, you know.
Wow.
And I got out there and there wasn't nobody out there. I thought, what the heck? It didn't bother me to drive back home. My wife said, I wonder where he was going. But I was off for the weekend. And I got mixed up, you know. I was drunk.
Yeah.
Alcohol had got me kind of confused.
Yeah.
And I seen, you know, I thought I'm going to be late for work and burnt the road down, got out there, and I was off at night. But Job's got situations like that. He says the light is short because of darkness. He said in verse 13, if I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. You know, life's not always pleasant. God, I heard somebody sing a song. He never promised us a rose garden. But He did promise, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's never very far from any one of us. You don't have to look hard to find God. You just got to look in the right place. He's never far away. But Job here said, if I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. Now, I have made my bed in the darkness. There's sometimes better than enough hours in the day. But he's talking about, you know, that his life's coming to an end. And he's talking about, you know, I know I need to do something, but if I wait on doing it, he said, my bed is in the darkness. I've made it. And I'll just tell you, the predicament that Job's in, there's no easy answer for him. Mm-hmm. Verse 14, he said, I have said to corruption, thou art my father. To the worm, thou art my mother and my sister. Job is looking death in the face. Job is saying, there's nothing I can do. I had an episode one time. I was convinced I was dying. And I won't say this about it. I wasn't worried about it. Wasn't nothing I could do about it. And I went to get an MRI done at Bowling Green. And the girl there, you know, young nurse, she said, do you need anything? I said, no, I'm fine. She said, well, if you need anything, she said, I can get it for you. I said, well, you couldn't get me what I want. She said, what do you want? I said, well, I like to hear some Christian radio. And she said, I can do that. She put me on some Christian songs. And I went in that tomb in there. And they was doing that MRI. And somehow, I don't know, my heart got in stress. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I just know I'm here right now. Know I'm alive. Yeah. At least I think I am anyway. Mm-hmm. But she interrupted that song. And she said, Mr. Wade, are you okay? I said, well, I'm having a little trouble breathing. She said, you need to come out. And I said, yeah, I may need to come out. She brought me out of that MRI. And it kind of escalated. I was having trouble getting my breath. And she said, are you by yourself? I said, no, my wife's out there. She said, do you think I need to go get her? I said, yeah, you might. She went and got my wife. It's been about 30 years ago. And my wife come in there. She said, he ain't doing no good. You better call a doctor. I was a little bit concerned about her statement, but it didn't bother me. I mean, I was still feeling all right. They went and got the doctor, and the doctor come in there. Doctor looked at me. He said, he ain't doing no good. Call 911. I thought, what kind of doctor is this? You know, he didn't do nothing. He just said, call 911. He ain't doing no good. And they got there. They flew on me, and I mean, they had me, you name it. I had a mask on. They put oxygen on me. They had me wired up. They had all kind of stuff hooked up to me. And I got to thinking about that. This thing was getting bigger. And I thought, well, I may very well die today. And for the first time in my life, I started thinking positively about dying. I thought, well, I ain't going to have to work no more. I ain't going to have to worry no more. I thought, I'm getting ready to go home, be with the Lord. And for lack of better words, I mean, I was okay with dying.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about dying that day, but if I was going to die that day, I was okay with it. And I looked over at this little young nurse. She was there by my bedside there. And she was shaking like a leaf. And I said, honey, I said, I don't want you to leave my bed. I want to show you what a difference Jesus makes in one of his children dying. I want you to stay right here. And I was getting more hard to breathe, hard to get my breath. And these guys was flying in on me. And I started quoting Psalms 23, Lord my shepherd, I shall not want. He made me lie down in green pastures, lead me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He led me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I thought for sure I was getting ready to die. And my wife jumps up and comes up there and put a finger in my face, Brother Ed. And she said, you got a granddaughter having a birthday this Saturday, and you need to be there. Whatever had a hold of me, run out the door. The paramedics run out the door. The doctor run out the door. But I have to admit, whatever had a hold of me, let go. The paramedics, I started taking the oxygen mask off and all that stuff they had on me off. They said, you can't do that. I said, I just did. They said, you'll have to sign a waiver. I drove myself home that day. I'm just telling you, sometimes things don't go as planned. And, you know, he says, I have said to corruption, thou art my father. To the worm, thou art my mother. My sister Job is looking death in the face. He's okay with it. He said, verse 15, and where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? They shall go down to the bars of the pit. When our rest together is in the dust. Yeah. And you know, I'm above the ground right now.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. They may already have my casket out there at the funeral home. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm living numbered days. I don't know the number of them. Mm-hmm. I know what they can be. Our days, the days of our years are 70. By reason of strength, they be 80, but then we're going to be cut off. We'll fly away. Psalms chapter 90. The Bible says, teach us to number our days. We may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We just don't know from one day to the next. Psalms chapter 90. It says in verse 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that's told. Verse 10, the days of our years are 70. If by reason of strength they be 80, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. And verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let me say this. This may not have anything to do with this lesson here. If you're ready, if you're saved, ready to go, death's no threat to you.
No.
Jesus said in John chapter 11, whosoever believeth in me shall never die. He said, believest thou this? And that's hard to swallow, but all Jesus asked you to do was believe it. John chapter 11, he said in verse number 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Right.
Believest thou this? Yeah, I'm saved. And when I say I'm saved, I belong to Him. He bought me. I'm not my own. Been bought with a price. I'm here, but this is not my home. I'm going home one day. And you know, it's well with my soul. And when it's well with your soul, when you know you're saved, and I do, Bible even tells you, work out your own salvation,
yeah,
fear and trembling. When you get it all worked out, and you know, I mean with Bible nails, you got it nailed down, you know you're saved. You can sleep with the best of them. I can sleep in a lion's den. I can sleep with the devil himself. I'm just telling you,
that's right,
there is nothing that can harm you if you belong to Him. Greater is He that's in me, it's in the world. And the Bible said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Job here says, he said, and where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it? Job's got his hope in the Lord. And the Bible tells us that we have a hope that's an anchor to our soul, both sure and steadfast. And you know what? I've been in both before, and thank God for an anchor. But I have been in there when the anchor broke loose and he drifted. But our hope is an anchor to our soul, and it's both sure and steadfast. Hold on here just a second. Oh, come on. At least I brought my Franklin tonight. I thought it was in Hebrews chapter 2. But we do have an anchor to our soul.
Yes.
Now hold on just a minute, I'll tell you what that's at. I thought I had it right here. All right, matches in one book. Hebrews 6, verse 19. The Bible tells us about an anchor. It says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. We have an anchor in the Lord for our soul. We're not going nowhere but with Him and to Him. I'm telling you, we've got a hope that maketh not ashamed.
Amen.
We've got a hope, I'm telling you, buddy, a blessed hope. We've got a sure hope, and we've got that hope that's an anchor to our soul. Job here, he's got hope. He said, as for my hope, who shall see it? You might not see Job's hope, but Job knows where his hope is.
Yeah.
In chapter 19, Job says this, verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms assure this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I'm just telling you, Job had a hope. I mean, buddy, he had a hope. They may not see it, but Job said, he had a hope. He said, as for my hope, who shall see it? And, those that don't have hope, verse 16, They shall go down to the bars of the pit.
Right.
In Isaiah chapter 14, it mentions about that pit. It says in verse Isaiah 14:15, yea, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Verse 19, they that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden underfoot. I'm just telling you, thank God for the hope of God. Job said he still got hope, even in his helpless condition, even with all his problems and all the hypocritical lies being told on him. Job still got hope. This is the second reply of Bildad, and he gives off a lot of proverbs here. Then answered Bildad the Shulamite and said, how long will it be ere you make an end of words? Mark, and afterwards we will speak. Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight? In other words, he says, why are you putting us down? We're right, you're wrong. Verse 4, he says, he teareth himself in his anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee? Shall the rock be removed out of his place? Bildad is, this is sarcasm. He's saying, you know, you think too much of yourself. You think, you know, God owes you something. The rock's not going to be moved because of you. He says, yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and that is true. And the spark of his fire shall not shine. We read last Wednesday night, the wicked die, where is he? In Job chapter 14, verse 10, it talks about, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? That's kind of what Bildad is concluding here. And that is a true statement there. The wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. He's just going to go so far. The Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs, he that been often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In Proverbs 29 verse 1, he says, the light shall be dark in his tabernacle. You know, the wicked, they don't like light. Mm-hmm. They like everything they do, brother. They do it in the dark. That's they go right. to the dark caverns. They go to the dark shadows.
Oh, yeah.
It says, and his candles shall be put out with him. God, he lights up every man. St. John chapter 1, it talks about he's the light that lighteth every man. St. John chapter 1, verse number 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Some men are just not interested in God. They don't care about the Bible. They don't care about eternity. They just want to live their life and fill their fleshly lust. And Jesus, you know, he gives light. He gives life. Verse 9 said he was that true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Some men, they don't want light. They try to put it out. They try to live in denial. They say, well, I'm different. I'm a born to lose. I'm a loser. But says his light shall be dark in his tabernacle. He don't want lights on. Turn that light out. And his candle shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. You know, one day when this wicked man stands before God, he's going to get not only what he deserves, but he's going to get, I guess, you know, an attitude adjustment. Down here, the wicked man may be able to run through a wall, maybe able to whoop 10 policemen, maybe like Rodney King, you know, high on PCP, and the nightstick didn't faze him. But I'll tell you what, buddy, when you stand before God, you'll find out your own counsel will cast you down. Amen. You might say, I'll not bend a knee. You'll find out how fast you'll bend a knee.
That's right.
Verse 8, for he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. The wicked is trapped by his own devices. Mm-hmm. He's building his own gallows. You know, driving too fast. I can do it, and you don't do it. Going out to meet God. Drinking too much. I can handle it, and you don't handle it.
Right.
Going out to meet God. I'm just telling you. He is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. He's just taking chance after chance after chance. Verse 9. The gin shall take him by the heel and the robber shall prevail against him. He just got troubles every day. Job mentioned about man's born woman, a few days and full of trouble.
Yeah.
Well, the wicked's got double trouble. Verse 10, it says, the snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. Terror shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. You know, that wicked man, he's not going to go too far. The Bible says he won't live out half his days.
Yeah.
If you think you're so bad, I just want you to know, you can't live without him. Not only can you not live without him, you're not going to go too far without him.
Mm-mm.
In Psalm chapter 55, last verse of Psalm chapter 55, but thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Now, we mentioned a while ago about our days being 70.
Right.
So half of 70 be 35 years. And a lot of people have left out here early, buddy. They didn't live, you know, I'm 68. I didn't think I'd live to be 40, but I'm still here. And I praise God that I am still here.
Yeah, that's right.
But there's some people, they don't make it to 70, Brother Ed.
Nope.
They don't make it to 80. They get cut off. And everybody, their ears tingle. What happened? You hear about so-and-so. Terrors shall make him afraid on every side. He's scared. You know, when I was a young man, I was afraid to close my eyes.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid I'd wake up in hell. And I thank God for that fear.
Yeah.
You know, that fear is what got me to Calvary. And Calvary's what got me saved.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't been for that fear, I'd never found Calvary.
That's
and if it hadn't been for Calvary, I'd never found forgiveness for my sins and found eternal life in one such as Jesus Christ that gave his life a ransom for all. I'm telling you, Paul said, Christ Jesus come to this world to save sinners. And he said, of whom I'm chief. And if Jesus can save the chiefest of sinners,
right,
he can save old common sinners too.
That's right.
But terrors make him afraid on every side. You know, a lot of big tough guys, they don't want you to know that they have fears. They don't want you to know how afraid they are of dying, how afraid they are of reality. They try to, you know, in denial, try to deny it. No, I ain't worried about that. I'll be fine. Tell you what, you let something happen. Car wreck. My friend was telling me about hearing about a car wreck. He said I was too far away to get to it, but yet I was close enough to hear it. And there was a bunch of young people and it was going way too fast. They lost control of the car and it flipped and it caught on fire. And he said even though I couldn't get to them in time, he said I could hear them screaming. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Somebody help me. Nobody could help them. Somebody help me. They was, you know, they was by their own devices paying for their wicked way. They was drinking. They was doing drugs. They was driving too fast. He said even to this day that haunts him.
Yeah.
Hearing them screaming for their life. Screaming for someone to help them. Big tough guys. Terror shall make him afraid on every side and shall drive him to his feet. His strength shall be hunger bitten. And destruction shall be ready at his side. Like I said a while ago about Proverbs 29 verse 1. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck. He said, I don't want to hear that. Keep that for you, it's not for me. Shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'm telling you, but it's okay to laugh when everything's fine. Try to laugh when you're dying.
Yeah, that's right.
Try to laugh when you're struggling to get your breath. Try to laugh when you're consumed in a fire. When you've been shot, you've been stabbed, been run over. Try to laugh then. Strength. His strength shall be hunger bitten. He can't save himself no more, Brother Ed. All of his strength. Samson's great strength was gone.
Yes, it was.
He couldn't go out as other times. It's time to pay up. He'd been playing the fool. His strength shall be hunger bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side. That's terrible, these verses are. It shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. I'm just telling you, these are terrible verses. I wouldn't wish this on nobody.
Mm-hmm.
His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the King of Terrors. You know, I hate to hear about people going through stuff like this, but it happens. It happens. Go down the wrong alley. Go, you know, stop, get gas. Somebody comes by and takes your car, shoots you, robs you, leaves you there. King of Terrors. It shall be well in his tabernacle because it's none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above his branches be cut off. His remembrance shall perish from the earth. He'll have a tombstone somewhere, and he'll say he was born on this day, and he died on this day. Sometimes God gave Jezebel space to repent. Sometimes it's not a lot. Sometimes it's short time.
Right.
His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. They try to name a street after somebody, and I want to change the name of it. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. He shall neither have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwelling. They that come after him shall be astonished at his day, as they that went before were frightened. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. And that's not talking about heaven. I'm telling you, Proverbs tells us, you know, about no remedy. He that been often reproved, hardened in his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. No cure, no vaccination, no booster, no hope, no help. The Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 41, that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. This is the place of him that knoweth not God. We'll stop right there. It's terrible as it is. We'll stop right there. We'll come back with Job chapter 19. I thank you for listening tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house tonight. Such a good place to be. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings here tonight. I pray, God, you'll help us overthrow this Marriage Equality Act, to vote against it, to rise up and call all of our senators, our representatives, Lord, and tell them not to vote for this bill. And Lord, may we be able, I pray, to have it thrown out the door like trash, like what it is. Well, thank you for all you've already done, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Ed, that's a little rough, but...
Yeah, it was.